This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome, Carm Capriotto, the Service Aftermarket's podcast pioneer. Join me each week for aftermarket insights from my guest host and an industry first, a virtual shop tour. Use the industry's premier podcast as your personal networking resource. And as always, know that you'll learn one thing. The video for this show is on the Aftermarket Weekly page on remarkableresults.biz or on my YouTube channel. You are ready for an incredible episode with Brett Beachler. Let's bring Brett on here. Good to have him here with us. Hi, man.
How you doing, Carm?
Good to have you. He's been a great contributor of the podcast. And one of the things that you did so well, and we had so much fun, was the 250,000-mile maintenance episode we did. Now, I have to tell you, with the Town Hall Academy, we're up in around the 270th week. And when you and I did that, along with, I'm trying to remember who else was on with us, but that was episode week 20. So it was almost like 250 weeks ago that we did that. It's almost worthy of another shot at it, Brett.
It may be. We still preach it here.
I bet you do. In fact, I think it's one hell of a strategy. Brett loves to help people get 250,000 miles out of their car if they're willing and they actually see how the math works, because part of the idea of that show was that you could save $100,000 over the life of the car.
That's the whole key, is you can talk a game like, hey, you can get 250,000 miles out of this car, but until you instill the why. Like, why would I want to get 250,000 miles out of the car? Well, you can save $100,000 over a lifetime of driving. Well, okay, now you got my attention.
And when you see the numbers and you feel the numbers, I mean, never better time with inflation where it is, where the car prices are, with the chip shortage, and shall I go on, and the price of gas, shall I go on? And it's a very powerful message. In fact, maybe what we should do is we should just republish that, just get it back up in the stream and let the shop owners see that. We're going to talk today about streamlining processes and the communication between locations. Brett has complex, if you will. There's the picture of it. And, you know, there's some multiple things going on. And he wants to talk about how he makes it tight. And I just can't wait to hear about it. Really want to thank Dorman for their great support. The aftermarket is filled with companies that make replacement parts, but few invest in design, engineering, manufacturing, programming, and testing like Dorman. They are home to hundreds of mechanical, electrical, and manufacturing engineers spread out all across the globe who ensure every part that is produced meets rigorous industry standards for performance. To do this, Dorman utilizes cutting-edge technology and equipment to test fit, form, and functionality of all their parts. Some of these tests include rapid prototyping 3D models for fitment checks, tolerance testing on both mechanical and electronic components through salt fog and thermal heat and pressure testing. Dorman drives their dedication to their engineering by including their in-house programmers who write and test new software solutions. Solving for a problem is what powers the innovation engine at Dorman. Dorman invests in these OE innovations to help you save time, your customer money, and prevent vehicles from coming back to your shop. Hey, to learn more about Dorman's engineering process, visit dormanproducts.com/tour. Again, thanks, Dorman. Hey, Brett, are you ready to talk some business with me here?
I'm ready. I'm ready to talk some business.
You are a process systems guy.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Trust me, because if anyone listened, we're gonna promote the peer group episode that came out, episode 273, Town Hall. And Brett basically says, I'm the process guy. And so I'd love to hear about how you tighten communication in your place.
There's a lot of tools in our toolbox here at Beachler's. We had to do that because our first building you guys saw in the photo, the above photo, was built in 1970-71. That was our main five bay shop. About 10 years ago, we realized we had to change. We had to grow. We had to keep growing. We had a large property on the back of behind our building. And we said, we got to do something with this. We got to figure out some kind of revenue growth, something going on. So we built a second building. But the first thing we thought was, when we did the second building, was, wow, there's going to be some logistical challenges of having advisors in one building, which the design was going to be. Yeah, you can see it there in the photo. There's the design was going to be the oil change shop in the back, because we simply were running out of capacity in our front building. We had one bay doing oil changes every, you know, basically 25 minutes, and we couldn't keep up. We just kept getting demand and demand and demand, more demand. And so let's do something else. Plus our advisor area was in a convenience store setting. I knew this 15 years ago. We're never going to be able to recruit top talent to our shop if they're working inside of a convenience store. Loud, stinky sometimes, just the whole ball of wax. So we knew we had to go to a second shop. But the first thing we thought was logistics. How are we going to get stuff moved around? Keys, communication, everything that went between the two, because you got advisors in one building and techs in the other building, the ASC techs. So one of the things we use, and there's a bunch of different programs out there, but it's Softros. That's one of the streamlining that we do. On the shop tour, I'll show you a couple things like from a hands-on logistical deal that we do that really, and I was telling Tracy the other day, that really helps with the minimization of talk between advisors and techs. I think that's absolutely critical. If you've got a system that they're constantly verbally talking to each other and they have to communicate back and forth, it's going to be super challenging to get streamlined in your organization. We really push hard to have good descriptions by the technician. The communication, everybody in this place, there's 18 computers in our location. Everybody's got a system called Softros, which is a way of instant messaging each other in this organization.
Spell that for us.
S-O-S-T-R-O-S. You know, it's funny is when we went to Brian Weeks's place last month, I think it was. Yeah, back in March. And the first thing we did is Brian's got this big, massive building. You guys had the shop tour of it. And we're like, hey, we'd go back to the techs and we're like, hey, how do you communicate with the advisors? And like, well, we just walk up there and talk to them. And I go, how many steps does it take to walk up there and talk to them? And he goes, I never thought about that. I'm like, it costs time and money to go talk to them. So literally the next morning we called an audible. Me, Gary, Craig, Noel came back to the shop and we installed Softros on every computer. And by mid-morning, these guys were like jumping for joy. And it was just a little simple tool so they could go, hey, Mr. Advisor, my estimate's ready on this car. Will you call the customer? And they didn't have to move from their toolbox and they turn around, they go estimate car number two or evaluate a car number two. And just that little tweak in his organization, you can imagine how much time that saves them, 300 days a year. So that's I'm not saying Softros is the answer, but you have to have some kind of simple, seamless communication between techs and advisors. I don't care how far you are away from each other. There's got to be something that we like it because we can sneak in behind a tech. And when we get authorization on a car, proceed on Mr. Jones's vehicle. Boom. And they're done. And it's on their computer. They could be working away on another car. And all of a sudden they walk into their computer and like, got the green light on that car. I'll just keep flowing. That's one way we do minimizing wasted effort. I call it sideways energy.
You know what? I love that. I love the concept, sideways energy, which means you're not going anywhere.
You're not going anywhere. You're not moving the bus forward. You know, the Good to Great book, it's all about getting people on your bus to move that thing forward. It's not about me. And that's why I still to my day tell my guys, this is not about me. This is about you taking care of the customer who funds your paychecks. I just happen to write the check and goes to your bank. That's it.
Your job is to constantly look at ways to improve
exactly
the system. And because you're a systems guy, we've done shows with people on having an annex. You know, it's 100 yards away or a satellite that's a mile away. I'm sure this piece of software, you know, again, it's using the internet to communicate. So if you have a non-contiguous unit, did I say that word right? Then you need to tighten up, if you will, the rope between them all. Brilliant.
You know, some of the things I take for granted, and I still have been to other shops to this day that don't have this, but each of our techs has a phone. Each of our techs has a computer that I can access them. And this is really geeky, I know, but my advisors wear a headpiece all day long. And with one touch of a button, my technicians on their phone can go to their respective advisor and they can be hot into their phone. Like they're literally dialed into their headset and they can go, hey, Craig, I got a question on this customer. And Craig might be at that time with another customer. And he says, hey, Caleb, give me a minute. I'll call you right back. But they can go hot into their phone. And then reversed, our phone system, we can hit a button from an advisor standpoint and we can immediately be on speakerphone to any one of those techs that are in the other building. One button. I don't want them to have to dial in star 90406 check mark. it's one button on our phone system. I guarantee most of the people listening on this call have that capability on their phone system, and they haven't tapped into it.
But basically, you're taking a shortcut and assigning it to a button.
Yeah, you assign it to a button. Our phones have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have 18 different options on what we can program into each button. And I'll go to shops often where they'll have like 3 or 4 of those buttons utilized, and that's it. And I'm like, imagine how much time it takes me to look up a supplier number on the system and go, okay, who am I calling here? This is Napa. Okay, what's their phone number again? Instead, just put it on the button. I mean, take your top 6 or 8 suppliers that you call. Take your all your technicians that you contact on a daily basis. I mean, it's all over the place with our phone. We got every single button utilized on our phone.
Okay,
system.
So you're using shortcuts, or you're asking the question, why not? So if you have a speed dial for a supplier, you can have a speed dial for a tech.
Yes.
Because it's intercom, it's in-house.
The bottom line is, you and I are talking about things that are not like completely earth-shattering. They're not. It's not like we're saving hours. It's seconds. That's what is important in our business. And I just don't want my guys to have to work really hard to produce a lot of hours every day.
I've been to enough classes where they literally took the 10 seconds per tech, per hour, and you add it all up. And at the end of the month and the end of the year, it's huge.
It's huge. It's no different than what you and I do with money. It's like when I was a kid and I started earning money, and my dad's like, hey, why don't you annualize that? I'm like, what are you talking about, annualize it? He goes, hey, you going out to lunch every day. Why don't you go ahead and times that by X amount of days? He said, tell me how much that costs you in a year. And that just hit me square between the eyes. I'm like, I'm not spending $1,000 a year to go out to eat. How much time does it take me to earn that money? We need to think the same exact way when it comes to budgeting for our time with our techs, period.
I hear you, buddy. I'm telling you, years ago when I would go to lunch, and all of a sudden I started to realize that if I could save $1 a day, and it didn't seem like a lot of money, except for the time that, oh, my copay went up on my prescriptions by $300 until I earned enough. Well, that was $1 a day for lunch.
A lot of money, a lot of time gets slipped out of our business. I mean, it's funny. My dad, I got a lot of wisdom from him, and he says, you know, we get all freaked out if a guy steals an oil filter from us and you'll fire him. But if he goes and punches in and then goes and has his breakfast in the morning for 10 minutes, we kind of go around that rock in the river. To me, when you're on deck, I had a consultation with one of our employees yesterday. When you're on deck, you're here to work. I eat my breakfast before I get to work. I don't get here and then munch in the back and lollygag. And that's just the way it is. You're either stealing time or you're stealing parts, and both ways are wrong. And parts, we get all upset because it's a tangible thing, but we don't get upset over time. And we have to be super diligent about that.
And we never get it back. Look, this was a great tease for the audience. Brett is a process guy. And in fact, it just is motivating me to have you come back and give us in a different show, 3 or 4 other of your most brilliant process saving ideas. I'd love to have you back. Let's talk about the new listens of the week. And one of them that you really have to look at is the peer review, episode 273 of the Town Hall Academy. And this is where Brett was with Brian Weeks, Craig Noel, and Gary Pontius Jr. And they described that incredible peer review that went on over at Brian Weeks' place. Please listen to that. You'll be so motivated. We also had Clint White, episode 740 on standards aligning with your core values. Matt Vonslow put out The Myth About Rock Bottom, the Diagnosis of Substance Abuse Disorder with his wife, Daniel Vonslow. It's a follow-up part 2. Very candid, very transparent, very honest episode. Incredible. It's amazing when you think about the industry that we have and some of the things that are going on in it that we sometimes look the other way about. Hunt Nemerist came on Business by the Numbers. He's talking about going multi-location. So continue to put out some of the best content available in the automotive aftermarket. Let's check out the tour of Beechler's. You and your dad, Terry, been around for tons of years, right? In the 70s?
Yep, 1919. I'm sorry, we've been around, but my grandpa started in 1951.
Beautiful place, and I know you've got a gas station, convenience store, shop, and oil change place. Can't wait to see it all.
Right here, explained to Tracy the other day, one of the things, we just recruited a tech. He started with us this past Monday, And he's been coming to our gas station for years. And he told his wife, I want my name to be up on that wall someday. And I said, seriously, like that was one of your tipping points? He said, yeah. He said, I was amazed. We got our sign guy redoing all the signs for the respective above the bays. He said, I was amazed at how long guys have been there.
Let our industry know. You've gone to big theme parks or in companies where the employees wear their name tag and they show the tenure that they have with the company. I have yet to see something like this, maybe inside the shop, but never outside, Brett. This is a phenomenal recognition of your people.
Yeah, Dale right there, he retired from working on cars with us, but he's still on payroll. And he comes in and repairs machinery and things like that when things break down. I call him my Uncle Dale. I mean, he started with us a year before I was born. That sign deal serves two purposes. A, it explains to the public how long guys have been here. But B, you know what else goes on there? It's exactly what that tech said to me. It reaffirmed it. I want my name to be up there someday. It's not just my name up there. I mean, in the end, it's really not about my ego. It's about me leading a bunch of people on our organization to continue growth for them and us and the whole ball of wax. But the fact that he came to me and said, I wanted to come there because I saw the tenure, and he said, I told my wife I want to be up there someday. And I was like, wow, I never thought it'd affect somebody like that, but okay, I'll take it. Car pusher, I think a lot of guys in our group have those things. You know, I can't tell you how many cars I pushed in this facility with other techs, and you know, you're all winded. I don't care how in shape you are, you're all winded by the time you get a car in there. And then now with the pusher, we don't have to, you know, suck up two guys. Two guys get to stay inside the shop and keep producing. Again, seconds, right?
How many bays?
Five bays in the front building. Actually, there's seven, but you'll see the other two here in just a minute. But these are the five bays where I've got four ASC technicians and one apprentice. That's Jeremiah. Just came to us from the local community college. Good kid. I found him at a high school recruiting deal, and I couldn't take my eye off. There's Ira, just had surgery. I couldn't take my eye off this kid because he just smiled, and his attitude, right? Hire for attitude. His attitude was just off the charts. And I just kept pursuing him. And then he came and shadowed with us. And he's like, Brett, I can't believe how well you guys work with each other. So now we're walking back into what used to be the car wash. Carm, you remember those days when the track would go through the car washes and push the car through?
Yeah.
So we had somebody accidentally destroy our car wash about 4 years ago. So we turned it into a tire and alignment bay. So the first bay was our tire bay. This is our alignment bay. We move about 2,500, and it's still growing, tires a year. And that's simply, there's Jose. He's a great teammate to have on board. He was with us, left for a couple of years, moved around the country with his wife, and came back, had an opportunity to come back. Back of the convenience store, nothing too wild and crazy. This is where our service advisor area used to be. There's Jimmy. He is just a beam of light on our staff here. That used to be the advisor area where all that stuff was. You didn't know any better back then, but as you grow and you get outside your shop, you're like, something needs to change. And we ended up expanding the convenience store. And, you know, there's a photo in here. We kind of like our nostalgia. So that's an old pump from the 50s. My dad and Dale actually restored the pump about 15 years ago. And just kind of giving a little bit of our heritage. And you'll see at the left of this is a picture of my grandpa. So this is a small original photo. He's out there pumping gas for a customer. But we'll go to the other building, and you're going to see where we had a graphics company, a sign company, create a bunch of really good quality signs. And I wanted to bring the feel of an old style, like history, nostalgia to our new building. That's our new building. That's where our customers get to hang out every day. That's where we get to hang out. That's my grandpa on the left. Same photo. We expanded, really professionally done pictures. This is what people experience when they walk through that first foyer coming into our shop. So there's a lot of like just good feel, because that's all we're doing is giving people a good feeling. Grandpa and dad on the left, dad and myself on the right. That's all you're doing is just giving people a good feel. The customer waiting area. Yeah, we had more than usual that day. We usually have like two to three at the most, But that particular time we had, there's a kids waiting area. Notice the door on the kids waiting area.
Smart.
Really critical, because we used to hear a lot of screaming kids, and now we don't hear them. It's really nice when they come in and hang out with their mom. But interestingly, COVID, you don't see the frequency of moms and kids coming in like you used to. That's our office waiting area for customers to come in and want to hang out and work on things. And I can't tell you how many times they come in, and there's our coffee area, and that's our timeline. Really proud of this. Just goes back through the history. Customers, I never thought it'd be as popular as it would be, but customers just will sit there for 5 minutes just absorbing the history of our place and where they started. And my grandpa started with a $25 investment in a two-bay shop, leasing it, of course, from Standard Oil at that time. Just history, and you know, Dad and I, the original oil change place, you know, the ribbon cutting for the new building. A lot of really cool, like black and white backdrop photos of old, you know, older guys that have been working there a long time. That's our television. This is a file system. What I wanted was a system when our techs are coming and going, or anybody's going to the front shop, that there was no talk. So how many times do you have to come back and you go, hey, here, this Mr. Jones's car is finished. Here you go. Here's the keys. And the advisor's on the phone, like, hey, I'm on the phone right now. Like, don't bother me. I'm in flow. So two super active files that we have, the two top left files. The finished file is for when a tech comes back and the car is finished. And they literally just put it in the finished file. That is for review and final editing and then final call to the customer. The top left file is when a car gets dropped off with us, it's here and active. So the next person that goes over to the shop, they just grab it. And on the top left of that sheet of paper is the tech assigned to who it's going to. You'll see us kind of zoom in there. So that's going to Jake. So there's no question. Like, our techs don't walk over with a bundle of work orders and go, who are these going to? I don't know. We put initials on there and it goes over to the tech. They have respective files over there with their nameplate on there. And they just, boom, they put it in the file. All of these are on their RO work order. Anyways, there's Jake, the new guy. We still got to get him uniforms. These are advisor portals. They have a place to work from in the back. And then they all three have respective pods. See that pod right there? That's our final closed sale pod. They all three have respective pods to finalize with customers. So they get rid of their phones. They leave their phones behind. They leave their work they're working on behind, and they go. They're fully dedicated and devoted to that customer when they're at that pod.
I love that. I mean, that's something that I think we need to hear what Brett just said. It's standalone, it's separate, and it's you and the customer in that really important time where they're paying you, and then getting, if you will, the confidence and the trust and the value and everything that was done to the vehicle and, you know, the why they came.
We have 8 touch points in our business. I would like to have a 9th at some point, but we have 8 touch points in our business. I view this touch point right here, the final closed sale, as one of the most important processes in the in all of our organizations. Completely the most important process. That is the point you've got eyeball to eyeball, right? You got eyeball to eyeball. So we have shifted in the last 6 months, and Brian Weeks has been doing this for quite some time, but we have shifted to pre-scheduling our appointments. But the catch is, the ripest way to do it is at that position right there. Hey, here's some highlights. Here's what we did. Here's some great things about your car, which we've already talked about in the estimate sale anyways. You know, and at that point, you get that eyeball commitment, like, hey, how long you plan on keeping your car? Well, that's when the 250,000 mile question comes in. Well, I'd like to keep it a long time. You know, we don't say is the car paid for or not. That's, quite frankly, it's none of our business, but quite a few customers say, hey, this car is paid for. I'm like, and that to me is like the ideal point. Like, wow, this car is paid for. You're making car payments to yourself. And we'll say, like, I'll say that, like, you're making car payments to yourself. Most people are not doing that. But you're saving up for your next car, you're having a fund for maintaining your car, whatever the case may be. You really want to educate that customer for the long game, right? Not just the short game. And trust me, on the flip side, we've pulled plugs on cars. We've said, it's not worth it. Don't put the money into it. It's going to be a money pit. Move on to your next car. Take some time. But that final close sale, I call it a close education process right there, is absolutely the most important part. We used to, like, we had guys that are no longer with us. We used to just, oh, yeah, here, car is great. Yep. $59.22. Thanks. See ya. And by the way, we'll contact you in 5 months and see if you want to do all this stuff that's on the estimate here. It absolutely drove me bazonkers because we've had this system for 7 years where 5 months later, we text and email the customer and say, hey, you want to come in and get your 100,000 mile maintenance? Well, guess what? We did a terrible job at the final close sale. Now we're doing a much better job. And we actually captured those folks and they say, yeah, you know what? You might as well pencil it in because we're 4 weeks out right now, right? We present it in such a way like, hey, customers are waiting 4 weeks to get in. Do you want carte blanche? Do you want me to pencil you in the calendar right now, 6 months from now? Yeah, why don't you do that? Like, I want that spot.
Lock it down. Now. I love
Lock it. Lock it down.
What's the percentage of yeses?
Right now, we're at about 40%+.
Wow, that's huge.
You got to remember there's a customer life cycle, right? When they first start coming to you, they're putting their feet in the water. You and I have talked about this before. They're putting their feet in cold water. They're kind of easing their body into it. Like, they don't have that full trust factor with you yet. It takes time to get them through that process. I'll tell you though, I've got guys on my team now, they'll have a new customer and they'll book the next appointment with a brand new customer. So that to me is the ability of a guy to have trust, to establish rapport, trust with that customer. But anyway, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but I want people to know how important that final close sale is. It is not a transaction. It is not a take their money and get out of there. It is a, here's what we did for you. Here's how good your car is. Do you have plans to keep it for the long run? Okay, well, if you have plans to keep it for the long run, help us partner with you in the long run. And oh, by the way, your car is going to be at 100,000 next time. Let's do these things next time. What do you think?
The end pod is the go and be sure we stay married.
I like that.
Or go get us married. It's a brand new customer. It's a brand new customer. Go get us married.
I like that. All the guys know in our organization, if there's a guy doing a final close presentation to a customer, don't bother him. Don't worry about anything. He is taking the flack. Like, we're taking the flack for him. And he is in a zone for 4 to 5 to 6 minutes talking to the customer about, hey, would you like to schedule in next time? Don't bother him. You have to protect that person. I mean, he's the quarterback. You're the offensive line. You got to protect him. Period.
I love it. I love it. It's going to the altar pod, Tracy says.
There you go, Tracy. I like that.
Very good, Trace. Thank you.
So, okay, we'll carry on. So enough of that. This is a three-bay operation. There's four computers out here. One for the guy who manages the place, Zeb, who manages all of our parts. You can stop right here because this is another one of those things. We've had this. We've been using this for 15, 20 years, and I thought we would move on from it and find another better way to do this. But on the right, where all those clipboards are with the worksheets in them, those are the customers who are scheduled that day for oil changes. On the left are the customers who have arrived and are active vehicles. And I want my guys to walk up there, my oil change light duty tech guys, to walk up there and not have to think. I want them thinking in other ways, not in terms of like managing cars and coordinating things. I want them grabbing and going. So we're kind of freakish. We literally have 6 different areas of our parking lot that people can park their cars. So guess what I have on every worksheet? I have a direction where the car is parked. I don't want my guys wandering around the building trying to find a car. I have a north zone. I have a south zone. I have a south end of the vehicle maintenance center. I got a west end of the vehicle maintenance center. I got an east end of the vehicle maintenance center. I got an east side of my main building. And all I have to do is circle it. I don't have to write letters, nothing. We circle where it's parked and they grab it, they look, and they go right to that section of where the parking lot is. Match up license plates and just go. Our oil changes are 15 to 20 minute cycle time. I do not want my guys doing 7-minute oil changes. I think it detracts from the value at which we present to our customers. I want in that sweet zone of 15 to 20 minutes. You start getting into a 30, 35-minute oil change, they're looking at their watch. They're saying, come on, time to go. You're not going to sell man anything else. Let's go.
Anyone who is listening to Brad talk about, look at what you see there. Look at what's going on with the clipboards. If you want to watch the video on the show notes page of this episode, if you're in your player, just find the show notes and hit that YouTube link or on my Carm Capriotto YouTube channel.
We run about 8,000 cars a year through our place. Okay. There is a desire of me, I really would, to go paperless. But we have work order sleeves where the keys and the work order are with each other. It gives direction where the car is parked, gives drop-off time on there, due time. There's little things that take us literally less than 20 seconds so I can communicate to my technicians. I would love to go paperless. But I look at the transaction time it takes me to tag keys and write stuff down on the tag. I'm writing stuff down anyways. I know guys out there want to go paperless and are paperless, and I commend them for it. But we have never, ever lost a set of keys, ever. They're matched up with a worksheet at all times. We buy probably a couple hundred of those work order sleeves a year because of wear and tear, maybe 300 a year. They're a dollar a piece, but we don't lose keys. We simply don't lose keys, and keys are matched up at all times. You know, vehicle descriptions on the worksheet, customer name, phone number, everything we need is on the worksheet. I'm not preaching for paper, but for us, it works.
So we're downstairs in the oil change operation.
Nothing magical about that down there. We got a 2,000 gallon tank. You know, we try to keep it as clean as we possibly can. I mean, I know oil change pits think just filthy dirty. Quite frankly, I give shop tours to my customers, and it's embarrassing if I would take them downstairs and there's oil everywhere. And
it's very, very clean. The whole operation is just gorgeous.
I listened to your, you know, Leon Martin, I think, has been on your show. I listened to your podcast a couple weeks ago with the coach from Elite. And that is completely where it's at. You talk about capturing customers and hooking them in and walking them around a shop and saying, hey, this guy's working on your car today. That's Jake. Oh, hey, Jake, how you doing? And this guy's here, and he's been here since 1970, and here's our equipment. People don't necessarily care about the equipment, but there is a relationship magic that happens at that point that you're not going to get anywhere else. Because we take what's for granted behind the walls, right? You and I, we know each other, and like, hey, what's the big deal? People wouldn't want to know that. But I've taken engineers from Caterpillar, who is located here in Peoria, and these engineers at Caterpillar are like, man, this is awesome, taking me around the shop. I've never been down in the basement of a shop. And I'm like, really? That impresses you? I'm like, okay. So that just reinforced me in the fact that shop tours are so, so important in melding that relationship.
We did the episode, Brett, with Kevin Vaught on new customer orientation, and it was episode 737. This was great. I mean, I could sit and listen to you forever. And somehow you must be anointed inside of your peer group as the process guy. And so probably people don't make a move unless they talk to you, right?
No, there's a lot of good process guys out there. I mean, the guys that we work with at Brian's place, Gary, he's a really good process guy. Craig and I we're freaks about processes. He's good about it. He thinks I'm a better process guy than he is. And I said, I don't think I am. We're just trying to get better every day.
20, 30 years now, I've always said this about process and systems. Great process, great systems win wars.
That's exactly right.
However you want to determine the word war, if it's a competitive war, if it's a war in your own world and trying to always be better. Told this story, and I can't remember recently that back in the day, I would turn off the night lights in the business and just hang out in the business. And in my mind, remember all the stuff that was going on and the walk, the patterns, and I would say, we've got to fix that. That's taking too much time. And that's one of the great ways that you've come up with all of this stuff, saving seconds. And why should someone have to ask when it's simple enough to put a document in a bucket, in a folder somewhere? Every time someone interrupts you, they claim that there's a huge amount of time to pick up where you were. It happens to me.
it's so huge. And, you know, I always joke with my guys. They come up to me and I'll be sitting there at the advisor desk, which I'm working on transitioning out of. And they'll come up to me and they'll say, hey, are you busy? And I'm like, you really asked that question. I'm like, you don't have to ask me if I'm busy, because I'm always trying to be productive. But just ask me when you have a minute, may I speak with you? Because you don't have to waste your breath on saying, hey, Brett, are you busy? No, I'm just sitting here twiddling my thumbs, looking out the windows, you know. I'm like, no, we all should be productive. You know, busy is one thing, but productive is, I think, a completely other. I mean,
thanks so much. I have taken a bunch of great ideas for episodes that you may get a call on in the future. Because every time I hang with you, I just say, oh, my God, we haven't talked about that in a while. And you would be perfect.
You know what's going to be interesting is I'm hosting this fall.
Oh.
For the shop deal. So all the guys are coming to my shop, and I'm going to be like, okay, find whatever you want. Pick away at it.
Oh, cool.
I have things I know I need to work on, and we all do. And I don't think I have everything figured out. I mean, I'm still trying to build. I know I'm a process guy, I'm still trying to build my electronic standard operating procedure, way we do. I'm still trying to create that with Jeff Odom, and it takes a lot of horsepower to get that up off the ground, get it out of paper and into the cloud.
Brett Beachler from Beachler's Automotive Vehicle Care and Repair in Peoria, Illinois. Thank you, my friend. And as I told everyone earlier, we're on Facebook, we're on your favorite podcast listening app on YouTube. You can catch all this stuff. So thank you, my friend, for investing all this great time in sharing with us with the industry.
My pleasure.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.